Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. Obviously talking a lot of Phillies. Phillies lose last night 3-1 in San Fran. They're back at it tonight. And you know what tonight is, guys. You know what tonight is, Hugh.
Yeah, that's Taiwan.
Taiwan night for you.
Oh.
Taiwan on the mound tonight.
I think you're going to step up to the plate tonight. Put some monies on this thing.
How excited are you to watch your guy tonight back out there?
How excited am I?
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. Sound excited, huh? You know what? I'm not going to lie, because I know everybody's kind of waiting to see what I'm going to say. I don't have a feel for this one. I don't have a feel for his outing today.
Oh, it's not inspiring.
I mean, it's not. I know. I mean, I'm sorry, but I can't lie to the people. I just don't have a feel for it right now.
First time back in the rotation.
Yeah, maybe once we get to the end of the show, maybe I'll have a little feel for it. But right now, I don't know.
There you go. So we'll get more into that later on. But the Phillies back in action tonight. Taiwan on the mound. If you want to vote on any of our numerous poll questions, go to at WIP Midday Show on Twitter. This one was specifically...
There's a lot of them up there.
Yeah, this is a lot of polls up. This one caught my eye, though, Hugh.
What you got?
Has Hugh Douglas gotten too soft? That's one of the poll questions.
Well, Kyle did that. Kyle put that up there.
Somebody did. I don't know.
Me?
I don't know exactly who it was, but somebody put that up there.
I'm trying to live a different life, man.
It was Max. Did Max put it up?
Oh, Max did it.
Yeah, probably did.
He's already got you with the mints earlier in the show.
Putting mints in my mouth and taking them out. That's going to be a party.
Yeah. So.
I put the mint. Like I was trying to, he caught me with the mints.
Tasty, though.
The mints.
So a couple of the Phillies topics talking about today. Do they need a big splash, or are you okay with minor moves at the trade deadline? I think they need a big splash. Think they need to do something to change face of this team, whether it's trading a guy like Alec Bohm, whether it's trading the top prospects, even Andrew Painter, I consider. Do you think they need a big splash, or are you more on Hugh's side and think a couple minor moves would be good enough?
A couple minor moves, I feel. You know, get a nice, decent bat, get some pitching help in the bullpen. I think you'll be fine.
There you go. And also, talking about Rob Thompson, should he have gotten ejected last night after the disgrace that was Phil Cuzzi in the eighth inning? Show a bit of a pulse. You want to get on that, you're welcome to as well. Get back to the phones in a second here. But I needed to mention something real quick regarding the Sixers. Because, you know, I've been feeling, I'd say, more positive about them lately. Saturday night, watching VJ Edgecombe was very exciting. He looked great in his debut. Had 28 points, 27 shots, but whatever. It was nice to see him be aggressive. He missed last night with a thumb injury, which typically you won't worry about too much, but it is the Sixers. So you always worry about how this is going to turn into, you know, the next injury catastrophe here. But the thing that really bothered me is the news that came across yesterday that the Sixers are bringing back Kyle Lowry for another year.
One more year. For his 20th NBA season. I thought that was pretty cool.
You thought that was cool?
Well,
Hugh thinks Tobias Harris is cool.
Oh, yeah. Hugh's the Tobias guy.
Because I have vision. I have perspective.
What's your perspective on the Kyle Lowry move?
I look at it like this, man. I think Kyle is a good veteran to have in the locker room because he can help the young guys. I think that's what you bring a guy like that back for. Because when you look at the ones that you would think that would be in the position of being a nurturer, I mean, and that's me. Let me be fair to Paul and Embiid. That's me on the outside looking in. And I'm going strictly off of some of the things that they've done and said in the past. You know, and that's the only thing I can go off of. I'm not in the locker room every day, but, you know, I'm here to recklessly speculate about their leadership skills. The fact that Paul George made it public that he's going to stop podcasting and get ready for the basketball season during the basketball season does not sound like a leadership role to me or a person that's in a leadership role. And the other thing that I look at is when Joel Embiid gets mad that Tyrese Maxey calls him out about his work ethic, and Joel Embiid wants to go find the person that told Tyrese Maxey on him or whatever.
Right.
So I look at Kyle, and he might not be as decorated as those two guys, but he's been a solid pro his whole career.
And I kind of get that, but this is the thing that I don't understand then. Well, then why the hell did you bring Eric Gordon back last week? Like, I thought that's what Eric Gordon was for. You don't need two. You have two players on your roster who are a combined age of like 78 years old. That's between Eric Gordon and Kyle Lowry.
Combining their ages.
What are we doing here, man? Bro, they're like 40-year-old men. I mean, what is the point
because
of this?
I feel like you like what you got from those guys as opposed to what you got from the actual guys you're paying a ton of money from.
I mean, sign a young player you can develop. I get it if it's one of those guys.
But both
does not make sense. Makes no sense. Like, seriously, I'll go back to the combined age thing.
What's the combined
like
age of you two?
79 years old.
We look about what? 70?
Probably a little older than that.
Probably a little older.
You guys are probably in your 90s.
I'm 38.
Oh, we in our 8. We
oh,
80.
I'm, yeah, I'm, 80 you thought I was 30? Thank you.
No, how old are you?
38.
Oh yeah, we about you almost made me cousin there. We about 90.
Yeah, we're older than those guys.
Oh, you're deep in your twilight as a show.
Hey, you know what? I'm ready to if I'm 90, I'm about ready to go because ain't nothing working right by that point.
Well,
nothing working.
Well,
how about that D, baby?
No, I'm just talking about I'm wearing a diaper probably.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
You might already need that considering.
See, I didn't fart. I don't care what you
Joe and I are the same age, so the age didn't increase or
all right.
decrease.
Well, that's good. That's at least. That's
what do you think about this, Kyle?
Well, so one of the things that I liked about the direction of the Sixers, and I know that's there's few and far
few
between, is that I thought that the youthful direction that they were going in was a good sign, and I thought at the very least, you know, like the idea, Paul George and Embiid are here next year. There's nothing they can do about that. That, I think, is sort of the last remnants of the weenies that the Sixers have on this roster.
Need to get rid of the weenies.
They need to tip the weenie scale, at least. And I made the comparison to the Eagles after 2023, when you had a guy like Darius Slay, who was leaning heavily towards the weenie vibes, with the, I'm not tackling anybody, this and that. And then you get some tough young guys in here, like Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, and they put things into perspective for you, right?
No.
And you sort of think like, hey man, these kids are hard workers. I'm not going to be the old guy that's just, you know, I don't want to not be able to keep up with these kids. And it's almost embarrassing if you're Joel Embiid or Paul George that these young kids are outworking you. You're supposed to be the veteran presence there. So I like the idea of, you know, getting McCain here, Maxey is here, and VJ Edgecombe now, and just sort of injecting some youth and energy into the locker room.
Grimes, if you bring him back.
Sure, right. And, like, you know, it's not that Kyle Lowry totally cuts that out from the knees, but, like, it's not, like, I don't love the idea of bringing back a bunch. Like, I don't think that's what Joel Embiid needs at this point. I don't think that works for him, is bringing an older guy who's kind of like a, hey, what are you doing type of dude. I think he needs somebody that makes him almost look in the mirror by extension, not like by telling him that he needs to look in the mirror, but something that might almost embarrass him in a way. Mm. Like, what am I doing right now? And I don't think this is one of those things that I don't think that's a step in that direction. Kyle Lowry thing.
And first of all, just like they should stop. This shouldn't have anything to do with Embiid. Like, stop thinking about Embiid. You know, Embiid, if he plays, he plays. If he doesn't, whatever. But like, you have only a certain amount of roster spots. You look at a guy like Justin Edwards last year, who you brought in later in the year when your team was tanking, but you found the player who you kept, and
he worked hard, too.
Right, and you think can play a role for you. You could use one of those roster spots that you're giving to Eric Gordon or Kyle Lowry on a guy like that. And again, like, I get having one of those guys, I just think both of them being back here is totally redundant. Makes no sense.
Wait a minute. Wasn't he the guy last year that he was out there balling out and somebody said, you're only playing because, you know, everybody else is hurt?
Yeah,
was
probably. Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying, TK, but in the sampling size that we saw, I don't think it's enough to warrant him actually getting a roster spot because I think at that point they were mailing it in.
Yeah. But, I mean, Edwards going to be on the team.
Yeah. I mean, but they were melodied.
Yeah. No, they were. I just, the Lowry and Gordon thing just, I don't know.
It just bothered you a little bit.
Well, I just saw Shams tweet out, the Sixers have agreed on a one-year deal with Kyle Lowry, and he's going to bring veteran leadership. And I'm just like, get out of here. What a waste of time this is. But your thoughts on Kyle Lowry and Eric Gordon, if they're on the court together, that's got to be the oldest backcourt in the league, maybe in NBA history. Maybe that's what the Sixers are. Maybe they're looking to set a record, at least in something. Can we put together the oldest backcourt in NBA history?
We start combining ages.
Yeah. They're almost 80 years old combined. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phone. Let's go to Justin and Yonkers. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I want to touch on last night real quick, and then I do want to talk deadlines. Yeah, when it comes to last night, of course, Topper, you know, that was egregious. I haven't seen umpiring like that since Angel Hernandez, you know, retired. That was terrible. He's got to get rung for that. But and you know, I live in New York, and they don't really like him up here. But I see a lot of Aaron Boone, and I think Topper's a better manager than him. But I do wish he had a little more Aaron Boone in him. Like, I do like when a manager has his guys back, and I think it does a lot for the locker room. And I just, Hugh kind of mentioned it. It's like asking him to be something he's not. So I don't really know what. I can't get too mad about it. But, and the trade deadline, I think they need to go all in. I think, you know, this is probably the last year of this core. And you can't waste Zach Wheeler in this starting pitch. So you need to go all in. I think Dombrowski will, because the last couple of years he tried to bargain shop and it hasn't worked out. So I think he will. And I think when it comes to, like, getting a bat, that's the one place you cannot bargain shop. Like, if they're going to go middle of the road and get, like, a Taylor Ward, I'd rather them not even waste their time. I'd rather them go all in on the bullpen. But Jose Ramirez from Cleveland is the guy. That's like, my dream scenario, because Cleveland is free-falling right now. They're, like, 10 games below 500. And that's the type of guy I'm willing to give up. Painter or Mitchell Miller, not both of them, and I'll throw in Crawford and Abel into that also. I want to see what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting one, Justin. I appreciate the call. And yeah, I mean, Cleveland, what happened to them? They've totally fallen apart. They're 7 games under 500. They're looking like they're going to be a seller. The one guy on Cleveland that we had kind of brought up internally before the show was Stephen Kwan, the outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
He'd make some sense here. I mean, if you could pry him free, put him out in left field. That's a major improvement in left field over what you got.
What are we potentially giving up, though? Are we talking about prospects in this situation?
Yeah, I think you're talking about prospects for a guy like that. And you might have to give up Painter for a guy like that. And the thing with Kwan, he's not a guy who's going to hit a lot of homers, but
he's also a lefty.
Yeah, he's a lefty. You probably put him at the top of the order. Probably him, Trey, 1-2. But then you could have all those big boys in the middle. You know?
I don't know. Wonder if he hits. I mean, you know, he might be a lefty, but he could hit left-handed pitching well. He's not terrible against left-handed pitching. I mean, he doesn't have any hope for hit for power off of lefties, but I mean, it's definitely a younger guy that I'd be interested in for sure.
A top four-year lineup of Kwan, Turner, Harper, Schwarber. I mean, you could do a lot worse than that. So that's one that's intriguing as well. And those are the kind of names that I think could be available. And again, you look at some of these teams, it's becoming more clear, like a team like the Guardians falling out of it, team like the Twins falling out of it. Byron Buxton's a guy whose name's been mentioned in trade rumors as well. And he's been linked to the Phillies for a few years now. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Joe in Turnersville. What's up, Joe?
Joe. Well, you kind of stole the thunder. First, I want to give props to Hugh Douglas. I've been listening to him every day. Not only does he know about football, but he educated himself on baseball, and I think a lot of people should be listening to him more. I would trade. I agree, Joe. I appreciate it, Joe.
I don't know about that, though.
I'm telling you, because I've been following baseball since 1964. The only time I give
much
up
appreciate.
These top prospects, if I get a difference changer. And you mentioned my guy. I would try to make a trade with the Twins for their closer and the center fielder. I'm willing to give up Crawford, Abel, and maybe Miller. There's two untouchables for me. The catcher that they have, Tatis, and Painter. The one thing I give up Painter for is a deal with Pittsburgh. Painter, Abel, and throw in a mid-level prospect for Skeens. And then
I don't think the Pirates are doing that, Joe.
But that would.
Yeah, I mean,
hold on a second.
That would be exciting.
I hear you.
Yeah, it would.
Now,
be.
I hold. I got you. I hear you. I just read two that, and this is this fan-sided nonsense. But basically, they were offering Skeens to the Mets and to the Dodgers. And I didn't see any top prospects there. I saw mid-level prospects for them. So that Painter has a chance to be very special, whether he is or isn't, to your point, to prospects. But I'm not just throwing him in for like Cedric Mullins and all these. They're a little bit better than what we have. You need a difference maker. The previous caller mentioned the third baseman for Cleveland. Okay. But you definitely need a shutdown closer. That's the only way I'm giving up these blue chip prospects, a difference maker. But I'm with you that I would rather see him make a splash, but it has to be the right splash.
No, I hear you, Joe, and I appreciate the call. And I think what Joe's referring to, ESPN just put out this like hypothetical monster trade piece where they threw out possible trades for Paul Skeens. The Pirates would be insane to trade Paul Skeens.
He's hot. He's a hot commodity.
Yeah, the Pirates it would be are nice. Insane.
Yeah.
They're
dumb. That would be awesome to have.
Look, there's like no point to their existence other than to be a farm team for the rest of Major
he
League
said
Baseball.
No point.
Well, do you think legitimate?
There isn't. They're not going to build around Paul Skeens.
Would it be smart for them to trade him? Like, honestly, I don't think it would be.
I don't think it'd be insane.
So what would it take? What would it take to get the conversations flowing?
Well, for me?
With the Pirates.
I don't know. But
Painter, Miller, Crawford,
you would,
all of them?
It would be difficult to find too many things that I wouldn't trade for Paul Skeens.
Dude, could you imagine a playoff series with a rotation of Wheeler and Skeens in 1 and 2?
He's nice.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if Skeens were to become available, publicly available, via the Pirates right now, I mean, the Phillies would have to jump in on that. Like,
yeah.
I feel like every team in Major League Baseball that's a contender would, like, you wouldn't have a choice.
Could you imagine the nightmare scenario, though, where the Phillies trade for Paul Skeens? They have this incredible rotation, and they lose two games in a three-game series, 1-0, with Wheeler and Skeens on the mound? I mean, it's my fear, and I think it's possible.
People blow their stack.
Yeah.
Something like that happened.
Yeah, but
sure.
they threw out this other piece, this other fake trade or hypothetical trade for Byron Buxton, which would be the Phillies would offer Painter and Crawford for Buxton. That's too much for Byron Buxton. I think he's a nice player, but he's not a guy I'm giving up Andrew Painter for. What about you, Hugh?
Nah. Yeah. Don't sound like it, but Skeens? Yeah.
No, for Buxton.
No, but I'm just saying, not him, but Skeens probably definitely.
Skeens, yeah. Skeens,
definitely
absolutely.
Skeens.
Because he's like, you know, Painter.
He looks nice. He's very, very, very good.
He's what you hope Painter could come close to being.
Yeah.
Let's go to Patrick in Tabernacle. What's up, Patrick?
Morning, guys. Good afternoon. How we doing there?
What's going on, man?
Hey, TK, man. I'm laughing my butt off listening to you. You're like doing mathematics and algebra, figuring out the Sixers backcourt. They got some old-timers back there playing.
I mean, but, seriously, they want us to, you know.
Yeah.
It's an old crew back there.
Yo, Hugh, real quick, Hugh, man. I was telling Kyle, listen, if you're worried about stuff in the water, like, you, man, there's all kinds of stuff in the bays in New Jersey.
I'm trying to tell Kyle that.
Yeah.
Kyle doesn't believe me.
Listen, yeah, we were just, because I sail and we swim. We anchor down and we swim it. Like, the water right now is ridiculously warm. And with these warm temps, like this time last year, they had the cold water upwelling. And these temperatures were low, man. You couldn't even, like, hang in the water. But this year, like, temperatures are up. And, you know, we had right in the marine, right in the lagoon, there's a dogfish, which is a shark, swimming right there, Hugh. We're out swimming. And we see they got these bullnose rays. They're like 3-4 foot across. And when their fins come up, the tips of their wings come up, and they look like there's two small sharks because you see their tips. So, like, if you're worried about it, just stay the hell on the dock. Don't get wet.
I mean, no, I'm gonna do that anyway. But I appreciate the heads up.
Yep.
I wasn't getting in the water anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm trying to tell Kyle and those guys, man, they don't believe me.
Yo. And listen, at nighttime, I put this special light in the water to attract all the marine invertebrates. You can't, you know, you're worried about the big stuff. There's a lot of little stuff in there, too, Hugh, that would freak you out. A guy like you, you'd be like,
uh-huh. Like wolf eels?
No wolf eels. You okay, got to go good. Up to the North Pole for that.
I think they're up north a little bit.
Yeah. But listen, hey, the Phillies, like Dombrowski, TK, I was cracking up. Cause I think I'm more like you with the Phillies, the outlook. Look, they have cold bat syndrome, and the team that they started this season is the same team that ended last season, and the same team that ended the season before. You know, this pitching is great, but last night, you know, listen, I didn't stay up for the game, but I've been saying all year, you know, like up the middle defensively, you don't get better defensively, you know, like all of a sudden. We got a hole in defense up, you know, through the middle. We got this cold bat syndrome. I hear people calling it and stuff at the worst time of the game. And you keep saying it. What is it? When the moment in the game
the
comes
moment,
to you,
yeah, it's the moment
player.
Too big.
And that's like it's just kind of how this team is morphed into. And I don't, you know, and the arms, the starting pitching, you know, will certainly get us somewhere, but it's still, you know, to me and Dombrowski, like, you know, I'd put any trade or reasonable exchange, you know, anything all, you know, reasonably, I'll listen to. Like,
yeah.
Anybody and everybody is on the table for me, because this is it. I really believe if we don't do anything this year, that the window that we're in right now that's still open, it won't be there. And that's kind of what, you know, I'm trying to not, like, not, you know, I'm trying to enjoy the season. Each, you know, it's hard. It's 162 games. It's a lot of games.
A lot
just to
of
take
baseball.
Game by game. And, like, we're not wired as fans. At least I'm not, you know. So it's constantly, like, going against the grain, just trying to, you know, game by game. And that's why I take it in series. Go, you know, series to series to series. And that's for me a better way to, you know, try to stay with things.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Patrick, and I appreciate the call. And yeah, I mean, I would, like, if I was confident the minor moves would work, I'd be fine with that. But the thing is, we've tried that the last couple of years, and they have not worked.
Yeah, but
we also
ran it back, because we got a pretty good baseball team, and it just feels like this year, like, the biggest thing we're concerned about is the bats. Let's just be honest, because that has been our Achilles heel the last couple of seasons. The bats have been cold. So now the pitching is phenomenal. Now we're just trying to figure out how we can get a couple of runs, get some runs, man. Get some people on base and move some runners. That's it.
Yeah. And I mean, you just got to find a way, and it feels like they're just stuck right now in this kind of weird purgatory where they're a really good team, they're going to be a playoff team, probably going to win the division, but at least the way I view it, I don't think they're good enough to win a World Series right now. 215-592-9494, I got to say, Hugh, I looked up the Wolfeel. These things are terrifying.
Yeah. And
like,
you know,
this
what?
One picture of this guy holding this Wolfeel is horrifying.
And let me tell you, the thing of it is this, that they still, when you cut their heads off, they still bite.
Really?
Yeah, they have a vicious bite.
Is it like just like a reflex thing?
Yeah, it's
deal?
A reflex thing. Yeah, they still bite. Like, I've seen pictures where people have cut the heads off and the head still bites.
So yeah. Are you worried about this kind of thing, like being in the Atlantic Ocean?
No, I'm not. I mean, Kyle, you know, Kyle, I say certain things and Kyle likes to make fun of me sometimes, man. But I mean, Wolfeels are a hard thing.
Hey, in Hugh's defense, these Wolfeels are
scary. They're pretty gnarly looking, huh?
You never know where they're going to turn up.
It's just an out there thing. Like, I understand. You're like, I'm not going to the ocean, sharks, stuff like that. My head doesn't go to wolf eels when I think of dangerous things. Like, it's just, it wasn't on my radar.
My head goes to anything that has teeth that will bite you. Like, I was telling them, the Goliath grouper put hands on you too. Like, they can get pretty big, man.
Are you more scared of Goliath groupers or wolf eels?
Now I got to look up a Goliath grouper.
You never seen a Goliath grouper?
No. I'm going to look it up right now.
I would probably say... Well, where we go in Clearwater, when we go down for baseball, the grouper is probably the biggest issue.
Yeah, these groupers,
groupers will try to swallow you whole too, dog.
Well, that thing looks like it can swallow you whole.
Here's the thing, though. I sent a video a couple days ago that they never acknowledged. I sent it to Kyle and I sent it to Joe. And they just completely forgot about it.
Well,
it was the snake. You saw it. I know you saw it. The snake ate that little dude, man. Ate that man.
And how did that make you feel, Hugh?
I ain't going in the woods.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
Well, were you upset that they didn't respond?
I tell them certain things. Listen, I'm here to try to keep us safe. They laugh and make jokes. So I send them detailed stuff about what's going on in the world, and they just act like they don't see it.
Okay.
I sent them the one about the shark in the lake the other day. They ain't saying about that either. But I sent them
shark
out.
In the,
it was a shark in the lake. I know. Go back and look at the videos that I sent.
Kyle.
They cut the snake open, and the dude was in there. And his wife was crying and everything. Yeah, the snake ate him.
I guess he didn't survive.
No, it was a wrap.
That was a wrap. All right. Now you're making me scared. There,
thanks for bringing us down, Hill.
No, I mean, I'm here. That's what I'm here for.
215-592-9494. Continue taking your calls on all this stuff coming up. A major splash mover, a few minor moves for the Phillies at the deadline. Plus, when we come back, bring back a segment from last year's trade deadline, trying to find a mash for the Phillies that makes sense. That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio, alongside Hugh Douglas to the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Was this Men at Work?
Yeah. Yes. Don't remember the segment from last year, Hill?
Finish the Phillies, Hugh.
No, I was just, I remember his eye, the dude, this lead singer eye, kind of crooked.
Oh.
Got a lazy eye.
What's his name, do you know?
I can't remember his name. Okay. But I know he got a lazy eye, though.
All right.
That okay. I'd be going like, he'd be looking one way, and that yeah. I'd be that doing that.
Did that bother you?
Nah.
Okay. I didn't know if it bothered you watching the music video. Or
that he's saying, we come from the land down under.
Okay. Oh, it's the same guy.
Yeah, different song. All right. Same guy.
There you go. But this is the segment you guys did.
Mike Stanway.
That's a good rendition, Hugh.
Don't encourage him.
I enjoyed it. But the Finish the Phillies segment, where refresh us on exactly how this works.
All right,
please.
So. I'm going to give you just the general profile of this player without giving away too much because I'm not going to give you the name. Don't think I'm going to give you the team either. That might make it too obvious because I want to have some fun, see if you guys can guess this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give you some, I think, pertinent statistics, tell you where he is contract-wise, maybe an estimate of how much I think it might cost. We'll see if you guys are interested, if you believe this might be a match. For the Phillies,
okay.
Or if something you're not interested in, and then we'll see if you can guess exactly who the player is. So, this is an outfielder, right-handed bat, 31 years old.
Ooh.
Yeah.
A little older.
Yeah, he's on a team that I would say is not 100% guarantee, but a likelihood that they sell. They're still technically in the, I'll give you AL wild card race.
Okay.
But I would say not very likely that they make it. Probably going to start. The arrow is about to be pointing down, I think, for the second half of the season here for this guy. He has one more year of arbitration. That's next season. So they'll have him under control for this year and next. Again, 31 years old. He is a career 248 batting average guy.
Ugh.
Career 761 OPS guy. Now, in 2025, his batting average is 226.
Ugh.
OPS 777. Now, the kicker is that he has 20 home runs on the season.
Ooh.
So there's a good bit of power there, something 20. That the Phillies lack severely after Kyle Schwarber. I don't know who has the second most home runs on the team, but this guy, I think, would immediately come in and end up having the second most home runs on the team on the season. I don't think this is going to cost you your best prospects. Probably some low-level guys, mid-level guys, and maybe even like an MLB-ready player like, say, Johan Rojas.
Ooh.
What do you think?
I'm not all that intrigued by this guy, I gotta say. This resume, the 20 homers I like, but the rest of it, I don't know. I'm not getting a lot. There are more uhs than oohs.
Yeah, so he does hit lefties better than he hits right. He's got an 815 OPS. Against okay. left-handed pitching. Again, a right-handed player.
Something they need. Would you be interested in this guy, Hugh?
I'm trying to figure out which team it is.
Me too.
Minnesota.
It's not Minnesota. I'll give you guys each. So hold on real quick. Before I let you try and guess who the player is. Are you in, TK?
I'm out on this gentleman.
Okay. Even if it doesn't cost you that much?
Yeah, I'm out. It feels like a minor move to me.
Yeah,
This is a minor move. Yeah.
You want the minor move.
I want the splash.
Well, the 20 home runs are intriguing. Batting average is not that great.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it sounds like he puts the bat on the ball.
Small ball guy for you.
Damn,
well, actually, not really.
I'm still stuck on the team, though.
Yeah, I'm having trouble figuring this one out. Are you in or out?
He's an angel, Hugh.
Ooh. Okay.
Taylor Ward.
It is Taylor Ward. Good job, man.
Nicely done, God. You. What was that?
It's the small victory sometimes. You're like,
He's got 101 strikeouts on the season so far.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty decent strikeout guy, but he gives you a lot of power, man. I think I'd be in on this.
You're in on him?
I mean, look, if you ask me to trade Rojas and some like scrub from the minors or two, yeah, why not?
Doesn't this
and you can do more.
Doesn't this reek of guy who comes here, though, and this is Austin Hayes part two? Like, this feels like Austin Hayes all over again.
You can't be afraid to love again, TK.
Well, I
cannot be afraid to love again.
I'm afraid to love again. I think this would be a bad move for the Phillies.
I tell you what, though.
Taylor Ward would not be good here.
This team has had, in the last couple of seasons, because we're kind of dealing with it with Kepler now, of the guys that have posted, like the minor moves that have come in and just haven't paid no dividends for us. Yeah, that's, yeah.
And by the way,
I get that.
You just brought up the name. I am so disenchanted with Max Kepler, where I a few weeks ago
got him started.
A few weeks ago with the thing with the complaining, I was angry and irritated. But I said you can't afford to DFA him. I'm at the point I can't watch this guy. Just get rid of him. Just get rid of Max Kepler.
I'm with you, but like I again,
get rid of this
but
guy.
I wanted a replacement in the outfield at the very least.
He's no better than Brandon Marsh.
Well, whatever.
He's the same guy.
Marsh is hot.
You know, this kind of reminds me about the Spider-Man meme. You know how when you got all
some added context here, TK brought up Austin Hayes. Austin Hayes had 5 home runs on the season last year. This guy's already at 20.
Okay.
There's some legitimate
differences.
There. Yeah.
I just, some guys you just feel like they'd come here and stink. That's the way I feel about Taylor Ward. I feel like if they traded for him, he'd come here and he'd be bad. But... I mean, this.
Yeah.
I'm sure this will get brought up.
I mean, look, Schwarber has 27 home runs. This guy's 20. He would probably be the second most home run. Like, I don't know. If I'm looking to add a righty bat in the outfield, I'm not looking for a guy that's going to be, I don't know. I don't need a 300 hitter there. I want a guy that hits 20 home runs.
What about a different righty bat from the Angels? I don't know.
Talking about your boy?
Yeah, I mean.
Who's always hurt?
That would honestly be an awful decision.
But stay healthy.
It would be exciting.
Didn't he get hurt using the toilet?
Wow. Did he? It wouldn't surprise me. He's gotten hurt doing everything at this point.
He went home and he used the toilet and he tore a muscle or something in his leg.
Trout?
It was like his knee. Wasn't it his knee? It was something last year.
From squatting?
I don't know if it was that.
Well, he seems to get hurt a lot.
Taylor Ward played 156 games last season.
Okay, so he's on the field a lot. But he hit, what'd you say, 220?
Yeah, he's hitting 226 this year.
He'd fit in perfectly with this lineup.
He's a career 248 hitter.
I mean, this like runners in scoring position, I feel like it'd be a disaster.
Yeah.
With Taylor Ward.
Now, his best season, at least batting average wise, 2022, is 281, 833 OPS, 23 home runs. I mean, this is probably one of his best, his best power season so far. I don't know. I think you could talk me into this one.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like you're trying to talk yourself into it.
I am.
I don't think they're really excited about Taylor Ward.
I don't know if the fan base is getting very excited about it, but you know, sometimes it's the lesser known moves that end up making a big impact.
Oh yeah, they've worked out so well for us the last couple of years.
Yep,
yeah, Austin Hayes,
Max Kepler, Whit Merrifield.
Don't forget about Rodolfo Castro. Who could ever forget Rodolfo
Castro? I'll give you a counter. Dombrowski's probably the best trade he made here. Edmundo Sosa.
That was 3 years ago, Kyle.
Say need some more.
And the guy's a backup. He's not even a starting player here.
Some would argue that he should be a starter.
I've heard that a lot in this time slot that he should be a starter.
He should be playing more. Like, he absolutely should.
Because he was hit 600 at one point, and they set him down.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, real quick, I have another complaint about Topper from last night. Now, I'm a Topper guy.
Don't sound like it.
Topper mismanaged that game last night. I mean, you had a situation where you had a runner on first, nobody out, and he tried doing your thing, Hugh. He tried playing small ball. There's a lefty on the mound. Stott and Marsh coming up. What's the point of having your righty hitters on the bench? You have Sosa on the bench. You have Otto Kemp on the bench. Instead, he decides to bunt with Stott. Then he hits Marsh. Stott gets the bunt down. You get the guy over to second. Marsh grounds out to second base. Why not there? Just go to Sosa. Go to Kemp. Let the boys swing away. Try to have a big inning against the lefty.
I think if I'm correct, that's the moment that Ruben was talking about when he said he think at this point he was just trying to put the bat on the ball. And he was just trying to move some runners over, trying to get some offense generated at that point.
Yeah, they were just trying to get that one run.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Trey, with the guy on third base, struck out that in the inning.
But how many times have we seen, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, dudes in that moment try to swing for the fences and come up short, or swing at the first pitch thrown to them and come up short. So, I mean, I didn't have a problem with that. That was one of the moments where I looked at last night and said, you know what? They're trying to play small ball. They're trying to play a little bit of small ball. So I hear you, but I didn't really have a problem with that.
Yeah. Because
you're trying to adjust to the moment. You're trying to adjust to the situation.
I think I want some more big ball right now, though.
Yeah.
Can somebody put the ball in the seats?
And sometimes, like I look at these other teams in Major League Baseball, and they pinch hit all the time. Rob Thompson seems kind of scared to pinch hit until the eighth or ninth inning. Like, you have right-handed bats on your bench for that reason. Use them.
Big ball is crazy. Big balls.
Wait, did I miss that?
You were talking about small ball. I said, I want a little bit more big ball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Who doesn't like some big balls?
I need to grow up.
Mind out of the gutter, Hugh.
It's just funny, man.
You never know what's going to stop Hugh in his tracks.
No, I just think
he's still reeling from the Raid the Box in the first segment.
Raid the Box
show.
Is bananas.
Well, so like,
yeah. And then, that was good. That was good. That was good.
Yeah, that crumpled you, man.
Yeah.
Guy's done ever since.
That's stopped the show worthy, though, honestly.
So, like, but I don't know, like, could you, TK, because you're a big splash kind of guy, not be talked into, say, moving some mid to low level guys and maybe a Rojas, you get a Taylor Ward. You move Mick Abel, somebody else, you get, like, a really strong closer back of the bullpen guy. You get another bullpen arm with some other low-level prospects. Like, that's not... I need a better bat.
That's
not moving the needle for you?
I need a better bat than Taylor Ward. I need a bigger bat than Taylor Ward.
I need a bigger stick.
need a bigger stick than Taylor Ward. Whether it's moving Boehm, whether it's moving the prospects, I don't care. We need a big stick here. That's what we need at the deadline.
Yep.
Do we not?
That's right.
No, I agree.
Look... You could talk me into the Boehm and others for Austin Riley.
I want this Austin Riley thing to get done.
Oh, that's a lot. Call to action to Dave.
Yeah,
Dave,
Dabrowski,
get this done
Get on the phone. Call Atlanta. I forget who the guy is who runs that operation down
Alex
there.
Alex Anthopoulos.
Yeah, there you go. Nice Braves now.
I've been there for about 10 years.
Braves baseball.
Good morning, Atlanta.
Braves baseball is Hugh's specialty wheelhouse.
That is not,
Hugh
man,
is our
it's
Braves
not.
Insider here at the station.
That's cold.
That's a compliment.
I mean, it's not.
We need one. We need a Braves insider. Like, Devin's our Phillies insider. You're our Braves insider.
Devin's on vacation too, isn't she?
She was in, I think, Montana. She called the afternoon guys from the airport yesterday.
Yeah.
She's in Montana. Yeah, I saw the pictures. She's out there doing, like, Montana things.
What is there to do in Montana?
Maybe go hunting,
I guess.
I saw her and what? Breland. Because, you know, I follow them. And they were doing, like, stuff.
Oh, okay.
In Montana.
Okay.
I don't even know what you call it.
I'm sure you can ski up there.
I don't think they were skiing, though.
Well, maybe. But you said, what's there to do? That's,
are you a Montana guy, Hugh?
I'll go to Montana. I'll probably be the only black person there. But I'll go. I would go, and I'd probably, like, ride a buffalo or something. Do something.
You would not ride a buffalo. If you're scared of the wolf you're not going to ride a buffalo.
At least I can see a buffalo coming. I can see the buffalo coming.
That's a flat-out lie.
You know what? If I could still do the show, I would live in Montana.
From Montana. You want to do it remote?
I'll
move to Montana.
Send you a Comrex to Montana.
To Montana and be like, what y'all doing in Philly?
I don't know if
the buffalo would appreciate Hugh riding him.
I mean, but you ever seen Blazing Saddles? Mongo came in riding, was it a buffalo? No, it was a steer.
Okay.
But it's about the same thing. They're big, burly animals.
I've never seen that movie. I heard it's good,
What's good? You can't – it would not play well in this day and age.
Not PC enough?
Yeah, yeah. Some of the stuff that they did, that was a great movie, though, man, for the times.
Okay.
You know, speaking of movies, we're here now.
Yep.
They're making a Spaceballs, too. Mel Gibson is playing – he's playing – Yogurt. He's reprising his roles as Yogurt. Yogurt? Yeah, Yogurt.
The first one was overrated. I never was a big fan of that
movie. I want to see how much they push the envelope in this era.
Yeah.
If they do it again. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. When's that one coming out? Next year?
I'm not sure.
All right.
Speaking of Hugh's time in Atlanta, by the way, have you ever heard this audio of Hugh getting yelled at for cooking bacon on the air?
No.
It was during COVID.
You were doing the show at home.
Why are you bringing up past?
Yeah, please.
And Hugh started cooking bacon on the air, and I don't think his co-hosts were very happy about it. I'll play the audio.
It's still like you go up there and you're vulnerable. Like
you immediately learn musical taste.
Hugh Douglas.
What?
Hugh Douglas. What the hell, man?
Bacon. Yeah, it is bacon. It is bacon, Hugh.
Hey, what's
up? Did you hear that? Wait a minute, let me just.
Hugh Douglas, it's a microphone!
Wait a minute, just let me turn this last piece of bacon, man.
No, go ahead, Hugh. We'll wait for you here. It's okay.
Okay, it's turn. Okay, I'm back.
I love the defensive, like, what are you talking about?
I didn't know they could hear.
You tried to play it off.
It was so loud.
Hey, man, listen. That bacon was awesome, too. I still remember the way that bacon tasted.
Oh, well, the best goodness. Part is when you say, you're okay, you're not going to get in the way. Let me turn this last piece of bacon. Yeah. Great stuff. Great
one. But you can hear that?
So I guess Devin's listening to the show.
Yeah.
She said she was at a wedding. By the way, she was doing Montana stuff.
She was in a wedding doing Montana
stuff. That's Montana stuff.
It was Montana stuff.
Yeah. So I guess that's a big wedding.
Not skiing.
Montana.
You know, the next question I got to ask, Devin, were there any black people?
Okay. I love how we're conducting an interview with Devin as she is listening on the air.
I know Breland's there. Breland's there, but I'm just saying, besides Breland.
Yeah, Devin, please text us your response. Were there any black people in Montana? That's the question that you need to answer immediately.
We're here now. Like when you go certain places, like say if you go travel abroad,
yeah.
as a African American, that's one of the first things that I do. I try to identify.
Check the surroundings.
I try to check the scenery to see if anybody else around there look like me. And when we do, we give them the
little nod.
The nod. What's up? You know, what's up?
Right.
You know, you got a, you know, universal nod. You'd be like, yo, what's up? Okay, we good.
There you go. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Reset some of the stuff we've been talking about throughout the course of the show. What do you want the Phillies to do with the deadline? Do you want a big splash or are you okay with minor moves? I think they need a big splash, man. Go out. Trade the prospects. If you have to trade a guy like Alec Boehm from the major league roster, trade him. I don't care. Go out and make a move that's going to bring a real piece back. Get out of here with the Taylor Wards and these guys.
Got 20-plus home runs.
Those guys in the world. Give me a Kwan. Give me a Jose Ramirez. Yeah, one of those guys. Give me an Austin Riley. I want a real piece. I don't want these Mickey Mouse bats that we've been going with the last couple of years.
Real piece is crazy.
So you want to get in on that, you're welcome to. Also, Rob Thompson, do you think Rob Thompson should have been ejected last night of this game? Yeah, Hugh, your mind is just in a completely different space right now.
It's just funny, man. I just, you know. It's just funny.
Yeah, so if you want to get on that, you're welcome to. Are you okay with the way Rob Thompson managed that game last night? And the fact that he didn't go out and get in Phil Cuzzi's face, didn't go out and give him a piece of his mind. I mean, that eighth inning was terribly umpired. Orion Kerkering robbed the multiple third strike calls. Bryce Harper called out three pitches out of the zone. It was awful. It was absolutely awful. Rob Thompson, I'm a topper guy, should have done something last night, should have been more aggressive. I'll say that.
Yes.
215-592.
We've lost.
9494.
You know, Devin responded. She responded. Devin responded.
Yeah.
She responded. I guess she is listening to the show.
Yeah, she. Well, how do you think she said the other thing?
No, I'm just saying.
Do you think she just magically knew we were talking about?
Telepathic signals.
Like, what did you think?
Shout out to Dan for being dedicated. She's a dedicated listener. Shout out.
Oh, man. Andy in Huntington Valley. Save us, Andy.
All right, first of all, Q, it's Mel Brooks.
What did I say, Mel called. Gibson? I said Mel Gibson, didn't I? Damn it.
Very far from Mel Brooks.
Yeah, very, very far. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, by yards. And you know Mel Brooks is 100 years old?
Yes, he is, and he's about to play. He's about to do this role.
He is really an icon.
Yes, he is. No question about that, man. He was. You talk about somebody who was before his time. I don't even think that counts because he's been here for so damn long. Because he's been relevant for a long time. He really, really has.
He's really been relevant since the late 50s when he was writing for, you know, some of the great comedy guys. And then into the 60s and all throughout.
Yeah,
so he's
man.
Had an illustrious career, one of my favorites. I think the Phillies need to make some major moves. They need hitting. Their pitching's outstanding, but you got to hit. You know, they got to find a way to generate some offense on a regular basis and not, you know, hunting and pecking. And I think they got to do what they got to do if they want to, you know, go all in.
Sounds like you're ready to get rid of Painter, if that's the case.
I wouldn't get rid of Painter. No. I would try to move, you know, some of the guys you have to improve, you know, the situation. I don't know if you want to give up on Painter. You don't know what he's going to, you know, what he's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
I would not give up on Painter. It's too early for that. By Crawford, I think they ought to look at bringing him up. And if he's hitting the minors, maybe it's time to see what he can do up here.
Yeah.
Maybe you find, you know, light in the bottle. You go back to the 80s, they brought Marty Bystrom up, and look what he did for them, you know, in the run to the World Series.
Well, Andy, so I'll ask you this, though. Like, say we get to the deadline, and say the only way they can get that big splash impact bat is to trade Painter. Would you do it?
I think it depends on who the impact bat is and how long you're going to be able to sign that player. And, you know, look, this team is definitely on the older side. So, you know, how much do you want to, you know, what do you want to give up? You know, is going all in? How far all in? I think this team has a lot of decisions to make. And listen, like I said, the pitching's great. Pitching can carry them only so far. You got to hit. So it's a hard question. I mean, I don't think we should re-sign Schwarber until after the season's over. I don't think, you know, you got a lot of these guys. I don't trust Harper. I'm not sure Harper's, you know, going to come all the way back. So.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Andy, and appreciate the call. And the Harper thing is a huge part of it. I mean, if you're not going to and I'd imagine the Phillies know more about Bryce's situation than we do. And if they know internally that Bryce isn't going to be the same guy he's been the last couple of years, I think that just adds to it even more.
You know what? He's in a unique position where, you know, you look at him and the way that he's performing right now, I don't want to say struggling, because I think that, you know, there's a good chance that he could come back and be the Bryce that we remember.
He had some good at-bats last night.
Yeah. He's just adjusting right now. He's adjusting a little bit, so it's going to take some time.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the fact that he made some contact a little bit last night. So it's one of those things where we just have to kind of wait, for lack of a better way of saying it. I mean, you just got to wait till he comes back around and figures it out. Because the Phillies have already made it clear that whatever he's going through, it's as good as it's going to get. So he has to adjust and get comfortable where he is right now.
Yeah, definitely. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll get to more calls in the final hour of the show on the Phillies and the deadline. You can react to last night's game as well. Plus, on the other side, Joe Giglio on vacation couldn't help himself. He put out a quarterback rankings list. What is going on with Joe? We'll take a look at that.
Can't help himself.
Coming up next. But I'm in for Joe today, alongside Hugh Douglas, right here. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.